a blessing. That was great. Thank you, Miss Meany. Great song, sir. Great job, choir. Yes. Now you have us fishy sang again twice, so now you don't have to be mad at the youth choir anymore. Amen. Good, good, good. Well, in life, life's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. And I love being 40. Now I've been 40 about 6 months now. Now I'm having a good time, man. I like it. Being 40 is awesome. Feel great. I'm actually more mature than I've ever been. And very proud of myself for that. And that was a miracle in and of itself. But one of the things I've really enjoyed about getting older, I'll never forget advice I got when I first started pastoring at 22. Enjoy being a young preacher because there'll come a day when you're the older preacher. And I'm not there yet, but I'm not the younger or the older. Now when I travel and speak, I'm usually the middle of the pack. But I got a couple older speaker friends of mine that are now turning, they're grandpas. They're becoming grandpas for the first time. So probably in the last 2 or 3 months, I've gotten pictures from some of my preacher friends across the country who became a grandpa for the first time. So let's go ahead and just establish it and get it out of the way. Is it true that being a grandparent is better than being a parent? All right. How many of you can agree with that? If you're a grandpa or grandma and you raise your hand, all right, that's what I hear. One of the things I've enjoyed about getting older is watching especially my two oldest, develop good relationships with their grandparents on both sides of their family. You know, two of their grandparents are in their 70s and two of their grandparents are in their upper 60s. And so you savor those times. You know, I remember losing my grandpa. I still remember it. And my grandpa was my hero, you know, and David is now actually not just talking to his grandchildren, but his great-great-grandchildren. They have gathered, and they know the time is near. Did I just say David? Joseph. Caught myself. David is another good Bible character, but that's for later. He comes later on. All right, Joseph. David, I'm sure, was also a great-grandpa one time, too, but Joseph. One of those Bible characters, amen. By the way, you know, we say Bible characters a lot, but they really weren't. They're real people. They're not characters in a script. These were real people. And Joseph, his life is incredible. My wife says he's probably one of her favorite Bible characters. That's because she can relate to him. I just said characters again, Bible people. Because they really hardly find any fault in his life. I relate a whole lot more to David and Peter, amen, but that's probably why I said David. But when you go out to eat, or you get on good old Amazon.com, or you order something online, you don't order things you don't like. You go to a restaurant, you sit down, you don't look on the menu and find the thing that you hate the most and then order that. You don't do that, of course. You order what you like. When you go to an ice cream place like Cold Stone, you order what you like. Unfortunately, in life, it doesn't work that way. A lot of times we have our life ordered out, and if God, for just a moment, can be the great waiter, which, by the way, he is the great servant of all. Jesus Christ said the chiefest is the servant. If Jesus is the chiefest of everything, then he is a great servant, and he was, amen, and still is. And God comes to us and asks us to order our life and tell him how we'd expect things to be, and then many times he has the liberty to change that. When a waiter comes to you at a restaurant and brings you the wrong order, you have the liberty to say, I'm sorry, I didn't order this. And they are obligated because they're serving you to change that. But see, when you get saved and you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, God now has the ability to say, you don't quite understand what you're ordering today. So allow me to change what you've ordered because, trust me, the meal might not taste as good, but the dessert is going to be worth the wait. Many times in our Christian life, we get frustrated because we tell God, we didn't order it this way, we didn't plan it this way, and that Bible you hold in your hand today is a book full of people who didn't quite order their lives the way they had, and God changed the plans and did miraculous things in their lives. Joseph is an excellent example of that. How about Mary, just a young teenage girl honoring her parents, loving God, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, you and I need to have a chat. And her life was changed. She didn't order that. But boy, what a testimony Mary is. How about Paul? His order of life was to be a great leader of the Jewish religion. And God came and changed his order so much, he even said, you know what? We're going to ditch the old name and give you a new name. And his name was changed to Paul. And may I say to you as Christians today, we will many times in our life look over our life and start to see the older we get. Wow, I didn't order that, but I'm glad God changed my order between here and the kitchen. I'm glad God said, no, that's not quite what you really want. I mean, you want this, but you don't really trust me on this. And again, God tells us all the time, one of the hardest things we're going to learn as Christians is to consistently trust him. We outgrow that. A baby and a one-year-old and a two-year-old and a three-year-old trust their parents a whole lot more than a 19-year-old does. It's amazing how in life we just begin to spread our wings and fly. And unfortunately, we begin to do that even as Christians with God. And Joseph is a great reminder of this. He's sitting there or laying down, and he's about to take his final breath, and he's given some instructions. And again, remember, Joseph is one of the most powerful men in the world at this time. I mean, the whole world knew who Joseph was. Joseph literally saved the nation of Israel. God used him so that several hundred years later, they're going to end up in the promised land. And that land is where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to be born. Joseph didn't understand all those things, and Joseph didn't quite grasp all those things. But Joseph learned one thing as a teenager while he was sitting in a pew in a church. They didn't have churches back then, but if he was sitting in a pew. He learned to trust God as a teenager. He learned that there was something special about his life. And many times in our career, you say, well, of course, preacher, Joseph, that's Joseph and I'm just me. It doesn't matter. Joseph was I'm just me at one time. And it doesn't matter what age you are or where you're at in your life. Me and my wife and kids are going this week. I'll say more about it later to Mount Rushmore. And Don Coons told me the man that built Mount Rushmore started the project. How old was he? 59 years old when he started that project. And 14 years later, a few months before it was completed, he passed away. But he saw the finished product pretty much. And Mount Rushmore, the four presidents' pictures on the landscape there. And you think about how so many times I'm getting older now. Hey, God must be getting almost through with me. No, he's not. If you've got a pulse and you're still alive, God's got big plans for everybody in this building today. But just don't be surprised if he changes your order between here and the kitchen. I want you to look at a couple things real quickly. I'm going to give you three fast things and spend most of my time on number four. Number one, I want you to notice Joseph realized there was potential in his life. He had potential. Look at Genesis 37 and verse number 5. Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 5. And by the way, let me just say this while you're turning there. Think about this. Joseph had 11 other brothers, and maybe Joseph is the most famous of them, but it wasn't Joseph's tribe that Jesus was born out of either. Think about that. The 11 brothers, maybe we look down on them and we frown upon them, and some of their behavior was awful. But they were still necessary for the plan of God to go forward. And the tribes of Israel, as you study the Bible, will see they are significant. Every one of those brothers had a significance in the history of the Bible and in the necessary movements and happenings and coincidences, so to speak, or circumstances of God that get Jesus Christ to this planet so that we could celebrate Easter last Sunday and get excited about the things of God. And get excited about what God is doing. And just a little while, I'm going to show you a video to get you excited. This will be a different service. I'm going to help. The teens are going to help me preach this service. And we got another video I'm going to show you in just a second. But Joseph was just anticipating great things. Look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Joseph had some dreams. You know the story. For sake of time, he had several dreams that were powerful dreams, promising dreams. He had potential. He was gifted. His dad even gave him a special coat to make him stand out among everybody. There was potential in this young man's life. Somewhere along the lines, Joseph also learned God's promises. He learned God's promises. You see, Joseph was related to a man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham had taught his son and taught the family line to trust in God. In Genesis 12, God called Abraham and said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation, and so you just trust me. And Abraham's trust questioned sometimes. His faith did waver at a few times. But ultimately, Abraham was called the friend of God. Why? Because he trusted God. And somewhere along the line, somebody taught a daddy good enough and taught a brother good enough. And Joseph learned, I got to trust God. And in Genesis chapter 39, after he's been sold into slavery, the Bible says this. And I want you to notice this. Joseph's testimony was so impeccable in the eyes of the world. Joseph didn't have to go around and tell people God was with him. People saw that God was with him. Look with me real quickly, Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 3. And the master saw then the Lord was with him. Isn't that good? Look at Genesis chapter 39 verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Look at Genesis chapter 39 and verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. So Joseph has potential. Joseph has the promises of God. And by the way, we all have those same things. Everybody in this room has the potential of God. I was having a conversation with a preacher about this the other day. Hey, listen, all of us have different talents in life. All of us have different gifts. And by the way, there's different kinds of jets out there. There's jets that carry cargo. There's jets that fly fast. There's jets that drop bombs. There's jets that carry people commercially on commercial airlines. But boy, aren't you glad for you? Thankful for each one of those jets in its purpose and its design. Hey, God has a purpose for every Christian. He wants to use
use us in this world. He wants to use us in this planet. And God has given us that potential. And God promises he'll be with us as we go through these things in life. Now, number three, I want you to look at this one. Joseph was also guided by some principles. He was guided by some principles. All right, look at Genesis chapter 41. Real quickly now, Genesis 41. Now, Joseph has been betrayed, falsely accused, spent some time in prison, jail, whatever you want to call it. But God was still with him. Joseph is definitely not experiencing what he thought he would have ordered for his life, or according to those dreams he had back years ago. Things have changed. It's not going according to his life, but here's his chance. Joseph's chance to come and stand before the most powerful man in the land, because God gave him some dreams that stirred him. And Joseph lived by a principle right now that I think all of us need to be reminded of today. Myself included, all of us need to be reminded. And here it is. Look at Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." What a principle to live by. Here's his chance to be the big shot. He'd already interpreted a dream in the prison for some men that were in the prison. And one of them was released and one of them was executed. And Joseph's chance to shine now comes. And he still says, here's the principle of my life. I give God the glory is what Joseph's saying here. In Genesis chapter 41, that's not all. Look at verse number 25. In verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Not me. God hath showed you. Boy, that's good stuff. That'll preach right there. Verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. God. He's given God the glory. He's given God the praise. Look at Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 32 again. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. And his testimony was so powerful, Pharaoh even says, man, this God, I better check this God out. Joseph, in fact, since you've got access to this God, I'm making you number two of all the land. Except for me, you are the most powerful man in the world. And Joseph becomes this great leader. He saves the people of Egypt, they think. He really saved the people of Israel. His brothers came to him and stood before him. And boy, here's Joseph's chance to execute vengeance. As we preached 2 weeks ago about the open palm and the clenched fist. And here's his chance. But Joseph also learned a beautiful principle called forgiveness. Joseph says, I'm not going to be mad at these guys. I'm not going to sin against God. He said that when the woman approached him earlier chapters. In fact, by the way, young people, all of us in this room, everybody in this room needs to remember that it doesn't matter how old you are, we always need to work on the principle of forgiveness. People are going to wrong us. But boy, if you want to fly high and serve God in a whole new level, you got to get over some things. There's a reason why the rearview mirror is only this big and the windshield's this big. God wants you to look in the future a whole lot more than he wants you to look in your past. It's okay to take glances in the past. I have three rearview mirrors I check in my vehicle all the time. One here, and one there. I don't check them enough, my wife would tell you. But you add those three mirrors together, and they're tiny compared to the windshield. God wants us to focus on that. But boy, every once in a while, God does let us take a peek in the rearview mirror so that it can help us to understand what is coming. The fast vehicle's coming down the left lane. Move out of the way. I said, move out of the way, you slow left lane drivers. I said, move out of the way. All right, that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit of the Bible. That was just Randy Dignan's opinion right there. But I felt good about it. All right. Sorry, God. Now let's get back on track. But you check those three mirrors, and sometimes the past teaches you about what's to come. Here comes a fast vehicle. I better hold my place. Here comes a semi-truck. I better hold my place. Let them pass first, then move. So the rearview mirrors do help you with the windshield. I want you to spend a little bit of time on number four, the pondering now. Joseph looks back over his life, and Joseph thinks about what God has done in his life and how God has used him. And Joseph, who went from being a slave thrown into a pit, who then was accused falsely, thrown into a prison, who now is sitting in the midst of his family, looking at three and four generations deep, sitting around him in a palace, in the most powerful position of the world, literally. He says, I've got one thing to say to you, kids. I've got one thing to say to you, grandkids. God will surely visit you. What else, Grandpa? What else? God will surely visit you. I was thinking about this message. I was thinking about back in the day, my dad, both of my grandparents were deaf, my grandpas, and both of them were born in a time when there was no cars. My mama's daddy, boy, he was my hero. My grandpa, John Bradley Sr., he passed away when I was about 12 or 13 years old, and thank God he got saved 4 days before he passed. I'm going to see my grandpa again someday. And I remember sitting there as a little boy and asking him questions. I love talking to my grandpa. And boy, he talked about how they had wagons. And I said, man, that's crazy. He rode on wagons to go to school. And boy, my grandpa didn't even go to kindergarten until he was 11 years old because his dad died while he was six. And he had to become the man of the house at 6 years old. And boy, that was a hard days, pioneer days. And he was a hard worker. And plus, he was deaf. Deaf people were frowned upon in those days. And boy, I'd sit there like a little kid, literally, and just soak it up. And grandpa's talking right now. And I'd watch him sign these stories and tell me these stories. And boy, he still graduated from college at 22 years old and got a bachelor's degree and got a job and worked hard and didn't live off the government. And he raised my mama. And my mama's an incredible lady. And he taught her to overcome obstacles and fight through things and keep a positive attitude. And my grandpa's one of the reasons why I'm the way I am today. And I thank God for you, grandpa. And boy, I wish I could have been by his bedside. Thank God my Uncle Ray, the missionary, led him to the Lord 4 days before he died. He was a religious man, but he's never saved. But he got saved. And boy, I'm going to see him again someday. And boy, I wish I could talk to my grandpa again. And by the way, let me talk to my daughters right now. You better thank God for your grandpas and spend all the time you can, because one day they'll be laying in front of a coffin and they'll be gone and you'll wish you had them again. But thank God for grandpa. If your grandpa's still alive, thank God for your grandpa. If your grandma's still alive, soak it in. He's just that old man. Oh no, he's not. Take advantage of your grandpa and grandma if they're still alive. Love on them and appreciate them. My mama taught me, you know, I don't care how ugly or gross or old they get, you kiss your grandma, grandpa. And I always did. I kissed my grandma all the time. Even though her breast smelled like 2 weeks, I still kissed her. Why? Because that's my grandparents. They're the reason my mom and daddy are here. They're the reason I'm here. So here's Joseph, and he's sitting there. He's looking back on his life. And he says, listen, grandchildren. He pulls up a chair, and they're all sitting around there. Pre-video game days, pre-cell phone days, they actually paid attention longer than 5 minutes. And he says, let me tell you some stories. And he begins to talk to these young people. And all he can say over and over is there's going to be times you're going to feel like God ain't there, but he'll visit you. I remember when I was 17 years old and they threw me in a pit. My own brothers threw me in a pit, but I wasn't alone in that pit. God visited me. I remember when they took me and sold me into slavery. They sold me to people I didn't even know, and they threw me into another land, and I didn't even know their language. I didn't understand their culture. I didn't even like their food. We don't think about things like that, but God visited me. And then they took me, he took me, and he sells me into Egypt, and then I become this slave, and God was still visiting me, and God was still with me, and God was still taking care of me. And though I felt like he forgot me the whole time, he had not forgotten me. Then I end up getting falsely accused, and I get thrown into prison, into jail, and he says, man, let me tell you something, young people. He's sitting there, and he's starting to build it up. He's kind of looking in that rearview mirror, and he's getting a little excited. He says, grandchildren, my grandbabies, listen to me. It doesn't matter what you think you're going through in this life. It doesn't matter how cloudy it gets. It doesn't matter how discouraging it gets. God will visit you. And I've got news for you, church. God is still a visitor of his people. He knows what you're going through. He knows the burdens you carry. He knows the hurts you have. But God in heaven says, I am coming by your house real soon. He visits his people. He always visits his people. 3-year-old boy. I asked my mama, why can't you hear like all the other kids' parents can? You're deaf. God visited me when I got saved at 18 years old. Boy, I don't know how many thousands of people have gone to heaven now that were deaf because God saved these hands. God visited me. And now 2 million people watched a TV program yesterday because God visited me and told me your parents had to be deaf so you could learn sign language. God visited me. And boy, listen, I'm going to be a grandpa someday for a long time. A long time. And I want to be able to sit down with my grandkids and still be faithful to God because he's been so faithful to me and he's been so good to me and he's still been blessing me and he's been carrying me and he's been loving on me. Minnie, that was a beautiful song. How many times are you going to pick me up? He says, well, I'll stop picking you up when I quit loving you. I got news for you, my friend. God's not going to ever stop loving you. So he's going to keep on picking you up. He's going to keep on putting you in the saddle. He's going to keep on lifting you up. He's going to keep on holding your hand. Why? Joseph says, grandbabies, you don't understand it now. You run around and you enjoy the benefits and blessings of your parents and the fight and the battles that they've done and the battles that your great-grandpa's done. But God in heaven knows where you're from. God in heaven knows where you're going. And he will visit you, my friend. He visits his people. He visits. Aren't you glad we have a God that visits us? Young people, come ahead and get ready. While they're coming, let me help you with something today. You'll miss out on the visitation, though, if you make your windshield your past and your rearview mirrors your front. I read this in my Sunday school class, and it's important. Forgiveness does not depend upon receiving compensation. Forgiveness does not exactly imply forgetting. Forgiveness means you drop or remove the emotional response to the event. The incidental recall of the facts should no longer make the kettle boil. Historically, the event is a fact. Emotionally, it never happened. 2,000 years later, how can Jesus still save souls? Well, the cross of the event will never be changed, but Jesus no longer has an emotional attachment to it. He was abused. He was spit upon. He was crucified. He was mocked. He was separated from his Father. But he says, I'm not emotionally attached to the cross. I'm emotionally attached to the sinner because of the event of the cross. Many of us are going to miss it on our windshield experiences and our visitations from God. What happens, by the way, if you look in the rearview mirror more than you look at the windshield? You're going to wreck. That's the answer. Don't try it. It's like when your buddies used to tell you when you're a little kid, stare at the sun. Let's see who can win the longest. I made it 6 seconds. Go ahead, Randy. Beat it. 6 seconds. 8 seconds. Wow. They found out later that's really bad for your eyes. Don't look in the rearview mirror too long. Because Joseph's testimony will be with the song as they're going to sing. Go ahead, sing it. Joseph in heaven looks down and says, amen. That song's exactly right. Thank you. You may leave. If you're going to look in your rearview mirror, you got that video ready? I'm just about through. If you're going to look in your rearview mirror, spend more time looking at this than anything else.
Song. God with blood upon the tree. While the hosts of angels listen to a song they cannot sing, I will voice my praise to Jesus with a song of the redeemed. Of the redeemed, I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The Christ is
with you. I'm learning what your love release. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you by giving up my life to you for all that you've given to me. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace.